Sundance Institute collaboration, where we invite filmmakers to create audio documentary about people doing things their own ways. This next episode, A Beautiful Prison, is a truly visual radio program. Now come with me to Greenland on a journey through time, an expedition to see if a society without prisons is possible.
It's 2008. In Nuuk, the capital of Greenland, there is a red wooden house tucked into thick layers of snow. The house is right by the fjord, not far from the High Street, in this town of 18,000. This house looks ordinary in Nuuk, but globally speaking, it is unique. Greenland has no prisons.
At the open institution, there is no metal detector. We don't carry weapons.
Instead, it has houses like these. Open institutions, where inmates live and sleep, but can have regular jobs in town. There is no wall around it or barred windows.
There is just a door. You grab a set of keys and handcuffs, and that's that.
Paul Peterson just started working as a guard at the open institution.
Before, I was a fisherman. My wife and I had agreed that I would work on land. We had two little ones back then. From the very beginning, I was told you won't earn much of a salary compared to fishing. I'm totally fine with that. But when I showed up for my first shift, I couldn't help but look out of the window because I felt so confined. But it's still interesting to me working as a guard.
Are you from Semitsiaga or are you from?
No, we're from the BBC.
From the BBC, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Further away.
Okay.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Today, people are debating criminal justice across the world. Greenland's criminal law has been called pioneering, an example that other countries might follow. But it's complicated. To understand this system and what it might teach us about prisons, we have to go back more than 70 years to tell a story about colonialism, idealism, and justice. It's 1948. A ship sails along the west coast of Greenland through a sea of towering icebergs. It's November, and the coastline is growing with Arctic ice. On board are three young legal professionals from Denmark, Agnete Weiss Benson, her husband Werner Goldschmidt, and their mutual friend, Pia Lindegaard. They've been sent on an expedition by the Danish government to investigate Greenlandic attitudes to crime and justice. At the same time, the world is rebuilding itself from war. The UN is created, and its first great success is a wave of decolonization.
Communications between Denmark and Greenland had been cut off during the war. Denmark's whole policy toward Greenland became subject to scrutiny.
Greenland's Inuit population has been colonized by Denmark since the 1700s. Now, Greenland is about to become a region of Denmark instead of a colony. That means that Greenland will be governed by Danish laws. Inuit conflict resolution is not written down and has been distorted by centuries of colonialism. Colonials have no consistent laws here. So in post-war Greenland, there are no police or prisons. But will Danish criminal law work for Greenland? Or should Greenland have its own system? Denmark dispatches the three legal professionals to find out. They're all in their early 30s and have been friends since law school in Copenhagen. They're used to working behind desks in offices and have no experience with this type of field study. Yet, they have been appointed to document how they see Greenlanders handling crime and justice, and to recommend how they think Denmark should legislate. Before she died, Agnete Weiss Benson recorded her memories as the last living member of the 1948 expedition.
Here I shall confine myself to a confessional tale, about the expedition's historical background and its methods.
The expedition spends over a year in Greenland, the largest island in the world. 20,000 people are sprinkled across small coastal towns. There are no roads between towns, only boats and husky trails. The middle of the island is all uninhabitable glacier.
The colonial administration had their own boats manned by Greenlanders. The boats had room for a few passengers.
Agnete and Werner bring their three children and a young nanny along for the journey.
We are going all the way up the west coast, and it's by boat. So I couldn't quite imagine how it managed if I had to take care of the kids myself.
The Danish government hadn't allowed Agnete to join the expedition as a researcher.
I was just Werner's wife. The Justice Department did not believe expedition work was fitting for women.
But they pull some strings and she becomes a full member of the expedition.
It was our first experience with legal anthropology. We were indeed innocent anthropologists who Baldheaded had set to work.
The three Danes arrive in Greenland consumed with modern ideas in legal science. The world is grappling with the enormous scale of crime in World War II. The Declaration of Human Rights is being written. In criminology, there's a new focus on the human rights of prison inmates. Werner is particularly interested in criminology, the study of crime and its causes. He's Jewish and was forced to flee Nazi-occupied Denmark. From Sweden, he watches the Nazi ideology wipe out millions of Jews, and that convinces him that it is dangerous to reduce any group of people to one thing. At a Swedish university, he finishes his law degree and learns about criminology and how prison inmates should be supported to get back on track, not labeled as evil criminals. What Agnete, Werner, and Pierre find in Greenland fits these ideas perfectly.
The first long trip took place in November to December 1948 to the districts of Sisimiut and Maniitsoq.
As their boat anchors, the research team sets out in a small dinghy.
It was the opposite of a baptism of fire. Trying to reach the shore in an ice-stop dinghy, we almost drowned.
Sometimes their destination is a bustling trading post run by colonials. Europeans have been in Greenland for centuries, fighting for a monopoly on whaling and doing missionary work. And they have completely banned drum dances for entertainment, shamanism, and conflict resolution. The Greenlandic Inuit population support themselves as hunters, fishermen, or by working with the Danish trade. The expedition also visits small hamlets, and they spend a month in each place.
Werner was a skilled accordion player, and he'd play, and then we were immediately welcomed.
The Danes don't speak Greenlandic. Their interpreter, Gulborg Chemnitz, is a crucial part of the expedition.
Gulborg could open doors.
After years of studying in Denmark, Gulborg is fluent in these two completely different languages, Greenlandic and Danish.
I was born in a hamlet where my dad was the administrator. A hamlet is usually 100 to 300 inhabitants. You live like one big family. Everybody knows everybody. Of course, there would occasionally be conflicts, but you feel a mutual sense of trust. We almost never saw any Danes, except for the priest and the doctor who would sometimes visit. We never really heard Danish spoken. It was a huge change when we moved from our hamlet to the city, to Nuuk. There we saw how well the Danes lived compared to us. They had nicer clothes, nicer houses, and much more money. It was clear to young people that Denmark represented an opportunity for education.
The war forced Gullborg to return to Greenland, where she meets and joins the expedition. At each new stop-off, she helps the Danes ask around. Who is the legal authority here? Who can explain the rules of this place? But their questions don't make sense.
Our respondents could not understand our questions.
Peaceful cohabitation is crucial for survival in the Arctic. Conflicts are resolved according to who committed the crime and in what circumstances. And the communities are so remote, they each have their own way of dealing with conflict. So the expedition gives up on finding the law of Greenland. Instead, they start interviewing teachers, doctors, midwives, priests. Gullborg helps them interpret.
When I returned to Greenland after my time in Denmark, I was different. I felt as if I was now living in between Greenlandic and Danish. That gave me a certain rootlessness, but also meant that I could create a connection between Greenlanders and Danes.
The Danes notice that sometimes young people who've broken rules are placed with sheep farmers or fishermen who keep an eye on them and teach them a craft. The Danes believe they witness something unique, perfectly in line with popular European ideals, a society that doesn't punish people or label them as criminals, but rehabilitates them in the community.
We found crimes, but no criminals.
The expedition names it the Arctic Peace Model. If Greenland gets Danish laws, that includes prisons. Several Greenlandic politicians support this, but the expedition thinks prisons will do damage. They recommend that Greenland should have no prisons. This matches modern research, and it's cheap. It'll be a social experiment, an opportunity to create a modern prisonless society. Throughout the 50s and 60s, Greenland modernizes dramatically and the population more than doubles. The rapid developments introduced by Denmark have a ripple effect of growing inequality and an increase in violent crime. The prisonless system is inadequate. There's no clear strategy for how rehabilitation will work. There's nowhere to put perpetrators. So open institutions are introduced. But as inmates can walk in and out, survivors of violent crime run into their perpetrators in town. People feel unsafe having sex offenders walking the streets. Serious offenders who need psychiatric treatment are sent across the Nordic seas to a prison in Denmark.
I didn't know what the Danish prison would look like, the inmates and so on. When I arrived in Denmark, I was surprised by how Danish is spoken, how the Danes speak. I was convicted for a violent assault. I was in the open institution in Nuuk 3-4 times. The last time was assault too. Then I was sent to Denmark. I was there for 7 years. It was really hard when I had to leave Greenland. I left my girlfriend, my family, my parents, my friends. It's 4,000 kilometers. My dad was really depressed.
Human rights advocates call it exile. And today, some scholars say the legal expedition's ideas were naive, a romanticized view of Greenland colored by their own ideology. Well-intentioned or not, Danes assumed that they should legislate Greenland. Gullborg later described the effects of Danish colonization long after it formally ended.
When Denmark told us, "You are no longer a colony, but a region," I interpreted that as a promise that we are now equals. It is a great error that I have frequently witnessed in Danes that they imagine the Greenlander, however old, as a Danish child. I remember many episodes from working with Danes where I was treated as if I were more primitive or less intelligent than Danes in my company.
In 1979, Greenland introduces home rule and is autonomous, but still tied to Denmark. And the criminal law seems to sort of fall between the two systems and isn't updated. Decades go by and lives are shaped by the law. However it began, it is now a part of Greenlandic justice. And then, in the summer of 2019, exactly 70 years after the legal expedition left, Greenland opens its first prison. The new Greenlandic prison is a 15-minute drive from Nuuk. Our taxi driver calls it the 5-star hotel, luxurious in a town with a housing shortage. The prison looks like nothing else in Nuuk. Sharp lines and rust-colored cubes against the mountains. It has an open and a closed wing, which means that whatever the crime, all perpetrators will remain in Greenland. The prison is designed by a Danish architecture firm who wanted inmates to feel close to nature.
From my window, I can see people go by on skis and snowmobiles. I can look across the water at Semitja, the mountain.
Each cell has sweeping panoramic windows.
Sometimes at night, we can see the northern light. The sky turned yellow and red and then blue.
This top security, multi-million dollar building and the wall that surrounds it is a clear symbol of how the expedition's vision of a prisonless society didn't work.
It has been a new journey for all of us.
It's like we are new inmates here. It's like we are starting prison from scratch.
It's very, very secure.
These three men are all veterans of the old system.
My name is Torsten Kær Jespersen.
Torsten and Paul are in charge of guarding the new prison. And Carl's an inmate here. They have crossed paths for years, moving between Greenland and Denmark. Together, they are the voice of the new prison.
We had to start from scratch. Everything is new to us.
First, there's a wall 6 meters high, and then there's a fence around.
It's very close here. Cameras everywhere.
Carl has been an inmate at the open institution and the Danish prison, and is now one of the first inmates at the new prison.
We have to go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 doors, all locked. All of them have password. Beep, beep, beep.
Greenlandic inmates who were already in Denmark can choose to transfer back.
It has been uphill because we were so challenged by being understaffed.
It's been hard to recruit new guards. Until recently, Greenlandic guards were paid less than their Danish colleagues, and they have to speak fluent Danish. Many of the guards are new trainees, so the opening has been chaotic.
Do you notice that the inmates are finding it difficult that the guards are not very experienced?
Yes, because when you are not experienced, you usually said no, because then you don't make any mistake.
The young inmates sleep a lot. They wake up at noon.
Then inmates got frustrated.
What are the rules?
After almost a decade in a Danish prison, Carl has long lived in limbo between Danish and Greenlandic systems.
I know Greenlandic. I am Greenlandic. But sometimes I can't say things in Greenlandic. Sometimes I use the Danish word, or I ask, like, how do you say this in Greenlandic?
He's deeply unhappy with the Greenlandic prison being a work in progress, as he doesn't know what to expect from life here.
Some of us have been inmates for many years. We know the rules from Denmark. Sometimes when we are on walk with the officers, we try to tell them, we do it like this and this and this.
Do you think that the guards can learn from the inmates?
No. The guards know they are guards and the prisoners know they are prisoners. But we can joke and we can talk football and other things, handball and seal hunting. And then, of course, sometimes it escalates and we have to use power. But normally it's friendly.
The new prison does offer treatment, but it's a challenge. Greenland has many problems typical to former colonies. Social institutions are overburdened, and there's a lack of mental health experts. For Greenlanders, well-equipped welfare is often 4,000 kilometers away and in Danish. Some of the Greenlandic inmates who chose to stay in Denmark said they didn't want to lose the treatment options.
With my therapist, I would talk about my crime and a lot of other things. I used to think, I want to be like my dad. He's a good man. He's very strong, quiet. He lived a hard life, but he doesn't talk about it. For many years, my dad told me what to do through the eyes. My dad was a fisherman, a skipper. I was the little skipper, you know. I would climb up the mast like a little Tarzan, work and sleep on the deck. When I got tired, it was really good time then. If my siblings and I got mad at each other when we were kids, my dad would always go, shh, hey, stop. We stop. A dad should go, hey, what's the problem here? You need to talk about it and fix it. My parents weren't angry when I got arrested. They were sad. My dad didn't say much. I used to think, I want to be like him. Don't talk about things. It doesn't matter. Shh. But I can't. It all bottles up. And then it explodes, you know?
In 1948, a Danish expedition spent a year along Greenland's west coast, and a pioneering criminal law was written. But while Greenland sped towards the 21st century, time froze for the country's criminal law. A prisonless society looked beautiful on paper. The expedition hoped to replace punishment with something more humane. But rehabilitation doesn't just happen, not without a clear strategy and major investments. Mistakes, well-intentioned or not, have had consequences for inmates like Carl, who were sent to Denmark.
Sometimes I miss the Danish prison, but I don't want to go back because my mom and dad are getting old.
And for survivors of crime, mostly women and girls, who have been forced to live alongside perpetrators who were never locked up.
So I do not see now or never a prison-free society. Even in our old Inuit culture, we also had punishment as a concept. I think it's a very human reaction to try to seek justice if there's been wrongdoing.
Naja Nathanielsen is the director leading the new prison into the future. In 2010, Greenland got a new criminal law, this time written by Greenlanders.
I think it's a part of a development towards more independence. As a society, we do have a responsibility for those people as well.
The new law includes rehabilitation and punishment, and a reflection on justice for survivors. After the post-war interest in prison rights, focus has shifted towards the rights of survivors of crime and how survivor and perpetrator may be one and the same.
We come from very small societies, and if one of our citizens does something naughty, if you will, or even evil, we still know that that person will have to come back.
The Arctic peace model may not be accurate, but rehabilitating rule breakers is especially urgent in a small society whose towns are still some of the most remote in the world. So Greenland is now creating its own way of managing prisons.
It's been a hard journey, I say, but as you can see, the wall is still standing.
Sometimes the Greenlanders from the Danish prison call us. We tell them about the issues with the rules and stuff like that. Sometimes they say they miss us, but they don't want to come back.
I feel like I can make a difference here.
How do we make a system that is Greenlandic in essence?
Yeah, it's tough for the staff. They are doing a damn good job.
I really encourage them to come home. I say, come on, man, come home.
We constantly need to evaluate. Is this something that would float, or will it seep into the water?
What do people in town think about the prison?
Why do they have to place the prison at such a beautiful place?
Yeah.
You can't place anything where it's not beautiful here in Greenland.
How should we help them, or should we not? I don't think that we can find the answers 40 years back, 60 years back, 100 years back.
It shouldn't be a Danish prison model. It all ends with a Nuuk model and a Greenlandic model.
That was Paul speaking to us from his prison in Nuuk. Lena Beck-Sillison and Katz Laszlo reporting. In the next episode of Rule Breakers, a young man is accused of hacking the Pentagon and has lived with the consequences ever since.
A controversial motorcycle rally that drew tens of thousands of people from all over the country to Sturgis, South Dakota, ended a few weeks ago. The ripple effects are still becoming clear in states near and far.
Unfortunately, we did have an individual who attended that event who has now passed away.
Unpacking the aftermath of Sturgis this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon from 3 to 7.
You can find the latest on coronavirus in Illinois and Chicago on our website, wbez.org/coronavirus. General information and advisories are at cdc.gov/coronavirus.